Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you that we can gather for a few moments together and hear your word a bit and then have some time in prayer. And Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. You have blessed us so much. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. And we thank you this morning for your name. We thank you for your word. And so, Lord, as you speak to us, help us to hear. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Proverbs 22 is a little different proverb than we've had week after week after week. True, we've got 29 verses. That's about the same. But we have the first 16 verses are set apart, individual proverbs, not really linked together too much, but the last 17 through 29 are absolutely cohesive. And it is such a beautiful message, really. I'm just going to read that first, and then we'll go back and do it proverb by proverb. But this is beginning in verse 17. This is, just listen to this and think of this as the Lord speaking, not necessarily man. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth? Wow, that's quite a verse. That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you or those who ask. And then here are the second through the sixth things here as he breaks these down. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. Thirdly, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. And then the fourth point, do not be one of those who shakes hand in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? And the fifth thing, do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. And the sixth thing, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. So just great truths there that God has put down in his word so we can read them, meditate on them, and get gleaned from them. And as we go through this proverb by proverb, much as we've been doing, verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. So think in terms of reputation there, a good name, a reputation. Your reputation, the Bible says, is more valuable, more to be chosen than great riches. So where is your heart? In your reputation or in your riches? What are you trying to improve the most? Your balance of your funds in your account, or are you trying to improve your reputation by doing what the Lord is saying? Verse 2, the rich and the poor have this in common. Now that is amazing, because from the world standpoint, there's a huge gap between the rich and the poor. The rich and the poor have this in common, for the Lord is the maker of them all. Think of where we will spend eternity. There's no difference in eternity between the rich and the poor. As Vernon McGee would say, you either saved or you ain't. And everybody saved is in the same boat, whether they're in the good boat, really. I shouldn't use the term boat because it's much better than that. But there's no difference in that regard. And yet we'll get another verse down here pretty soon. By the way, poor, did you know that poor is used more times in Proverbs than any other book. Psalms is close to it, but Proverbs is the most. And we have five of them in today's, just in today's chapter alone. We have poor mentioned five times. So the poor is something that God remembers. Verse 3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Perception. A prudent man has perception, aware of evil and hides himself, but the simple, oblivious to that, they just plunder on and are punished. Verse 4 links humility and the fear of God. Interesting. We always, not always, often have, what do we have, 14 or more times in the book of Proverbs? The fear of God, the fear of the Lord. So here we have the fear of the Lord today, and it links it with humility. Amazing, not amazing, but interestingly enough. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So if you want riches, if you want honor, if you want life, be humble and fear the Lord. So if you don't get anything else this morning, that's a pretty good one, isn't it? Humility. So is my humility growing or is it shrinking? Nothing worse than a proud person who says they're humble, or nothing worse than a proud person who believes they're humble. I'm so proud of my humility. Verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. How many of you like thorns and snares? He who guards his soul will be far from them. Guard your soul. Be far away from thorns and snares, which is the way of the perverse. Verse 6, one of the best known proverbs in the Bible. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now this word train up this is the only time it's used in the Bible in terms of train up. Everywhere else is dedicate. So think of dedicate. Dedicate a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Or think another way. Think of your child or a child as a loan from the Lord. It's not your own. But they need to be brought up the right way. I think of the obvious situations where everybody is still held accountable regardless of how they were brought up. Think in terms of Samson. I don't think there's ever been a child who was better prepared to be brought up than Samson. He was to be a Nazarite, you know, he was never to have his hair cut. He was never to have any strong drink. He was absolutely dedicated to the Lord by the angel of the Lord or whatever it was before he was even conceived. And yet he didn't turn out very well, did he? Or think of Samuel. Samuel with Hannah and Elkanah was dedicated, and he turned out really well, but his sons were a mess. So, you know, we can start a child in the right direction. That's so important, but it doesn't ensure it. And you look at families. You may have a family, let's say they got three or four children, and they may have two of them just saints walking with the Lord, and they got one black sheep out there, and they were all raised the same, right? They were all trained up the same way. So we're so uniquely different. But as parents, grandparents, we're to be sowing into them, being dedicated to the Lord. They're His. They're His. They're His, right? Spurgeon said, I thought it was kind of, as only he can say it, in raising up your kids, remember, what goes in one ear, what comes in one ear goes out the other. But nothing comes in one eye and goes out the other. So your kids will see you more than they hear you. As Gail Irwin would say, I spent my whole time raising my kids, teaching them how to eat properly. And when we'd go out in a restaurant in public, they'd eat just like I do. Isn't that kind of true? Verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, another poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So there's a difference there. If you're a borrower, you're going to be a servant to that debt. You're going to be a slave to that, actually. So think of that when you use your, actually, you don't have any credit cards. They're really debt cards, aren't they? And they are, such a blight on this nation right now, because there's a really all-time high credit card debt, I understand. And the credit card debt is always the highest interest there is anywhere, right? Verse 8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Verse 9, this is a good one. I see that on all of them. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Another poor here, the third one for today. Verse 10, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. I don't know if you've ever been in an organization where you had a real scoffer problem, but one person can spoil the whole thing and be nothing but contention as long as they're there. But here it says, cast them out. Cast them out. Verse 11, he who loves purity of heart has grace on his lips, and the king will be his friend. Verse 12, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. So the Lord sees, the eyes of the Lord sees. Verse 13, the lazy man. Here's another excuse. The lazy man now says, there's a lion outside. I'll be slain in the streets. I can't go out and work. That's a pretty good excuse, huh? Verse 14, the mouth of an immoral woman. There we have her again. The immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. I don't know if abhorred or abomination is worse. They're both probably the same root. But he who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. I wrote down here, never too early. You know, when you see older children, older babies, let's say 4 or 5, or maybe 6, and they're just exhibiting all kinds of rebellion, and the parent doesn't do anything about it, saying, oh, isn't that cute? What a tragedy that is for that child. They should be taught, trained to respect authority at a very early date. They're going to learn that lesson somewhere. Too many of them learn it in prison for the rest of their lives. But foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. I'm not sure that's politically correct anymore. You'd probably lose your child if you started beating him with a rod, but we're not talking about beating. There's no beating in the scriptures. The Lord has put a couple of spots on our body where we sit on, that is the place to apply the rod, and that's never going to hurt anybody. Damage them anyway. Verse 16, he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. So stingily, you don't give to the poor. You want to give to the rich to get richer, and that'll come to poverty. So now we make that break here to these last things that I just read in the beginning, and we are terming it sayings of the wise. We've termed that pretty much all the way through, but these are kind of sequential here. These first kind of stick together. This is kind of an address here. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Are you doing that? Are you inclining your ear? Hearing the words of the wise, which is the word of the Lord, and apply your heart to my knowledge. Are you applying your heart to it? So three things are in verse 17. Incline, hear, and apply. 18, it is a pleasant thing, conditional, pleasant thing, if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. so that your trust may be in the Lord. Where is your trust? So that your trust may be in the Lord. I've instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you? I'm holding this. I hope most of you are holding your Bible in your hand, because that is a written instruction, is it not? That's the Word of God. So you say, well, I don't understand. God doesn't speak to me. Well, have you ever seen a Bible? Oh, I know it all about it. Well, then you can't say he never speaks to you. I mean, there's only 31,000 verses that he has here, and 1,189 chapters, I think it is. Have I not written to you excellent things? Oh, every time I read something, if it's not the Word of God, I just get reminded it's not all excellent, right? This is all excellent. But it's the only Word of God that's all excellent, I believe. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge? Isn't that what we want? Counsel and knowledge. And then this next verse is so precious, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth. Or that I may make you trust completely the words of truth. Why? That you may answer a word of truth or words of truth to those who ask, to those who send to you. Very powerful. And as I get, just, you know, look at the world and look at all the technology we have of seeing everything in living color and, you know, immediately after it happens and all that stuff. It's really saddening, isn't it? I mean, it's just really disappointing. You can't look at what's going on in the world without a lot of sadness there because of all the tragedy stuff and all going on. But the certainty of the word is wonderful, isn't it? So what are you feeding? What are you feeding your body? How many minutes a day do you have the screen coming in with all kinds of stuff on it? Some good, but all kinds of things. How many times are you looking at the Word? Are you really meditating on the Word? Because this is excellent. This is certainty. This is truth. I mean, it's kind of like prayer. We all say, yeah, I believe in prayer, but I don't pray. I believe in the Bible, but I don't want to spend any time in it too often, I think. But here, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth. How many answers are coming out of my lips that are really words of truth? If I'm not really kind of related to the Scriptures, probably, certainly, not as much truth as if it is. And then next, number two here in this series, do not rob the poor. There's another time, the fifth time, I think, poor is given today. Do not rob the poor because he is poor. Don't take advantage of the poor. Nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. Now that has even more to do than, well, that's where the judges are. If you were going to complain or say something bad against somebody, you'd go to the gate and report them to the judges, so to speak. Also, that could be interpreted, I think, to mean that it's unfortunate when bad judgments come out of the gate as well. But we're talking about don't oppress the afflicted. Pray the judges would not be harshly ruling on the poor people, right? Verse 23, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. So here's the one, here's the judge who will take care of it all. The Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. Verse 3, I entitled, don't buy a mean dog. Or the 3 point, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways. That means it's contagious. You will learn the ways of the furious, angry man, and that would set a snare for your soul. So don't buy a mean dog. It's not going to go well. Verse 26, do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing which with to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? So again, I wrote down credit cards, exclamation point. And again, we have that exhortation, don't be a surety for debts. Then verse 5, do not remove the ancient landmarks. Now, a landmark at Solomon's time was pretty old by now, right? Because that was, Solomon was, well, 1,000 years, 950 years before Christ, 3,000 years ago approximately. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. And I also think we have landmarks. Now, those are stones there in Israel on the corners of the little land plots, which your fathers have set. I also think we can think in terms of spiritual and moral landmarks, can't we? Think how our landmarks in this nation have fallen in that area. You know, in the 60s, what, we took prayer out of the schools. Recently, we've taken sodomy from being a felony. We've taken, we keep taking landmarks that we've had for years and taking them away. Jeremiah 6:16, as you know, says, return to the good old ways, but you would not, is what Jesus, what God was telling to Israel in the times of their adultery and idolatry there in Jeremiah's day. So do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. And then finally, verse 29, do you see a man who is diligent or a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. You know, when you see a hard worker, a diligent worker, good things happen to that person. Because that's what we're to do, right? Converse of that is lazy. You have a lazy person, good things don't happen to a lazy person. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Thank you, Lord, for these Proverbs. And again, help us as we spend some time with you, particularly on the ones that may really grab us, so to speak, and maybe the ones that don't grab us too, I guess, but show us. You've written it down for us. It's right there in black and white. Help us to apply it. Help us to receive it. Help us to have our lives changed by your word. Lord, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to pray for. So as we spend these moments together, may we really pray as led by the Holy Spirit, because we do not know how to pray as we ought. The Spirit will guide us and lead us. So let us pray. Father, I do want to just mention these names. We've been printing them out on the weekly and to pray for them by name. President Trump and Vice President Vance and Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Leader John Thune and the Supreme Court, those nine justices, and Marco Rubio, Scott Bessette, Pete Hegseth, Pam Bondi, Doug Burgum, Brooke Rollins, Howard Lutnick, Chavez de Remer, labor, Chavez de Remer, she hasn't been proved yet, but I guess she will be, Robert Kennedy Jr., Scott Turner, Lord, and thank you for that prayer that he gave at the cabinet meeting this week, and associate pastor as he is too, and what a wonderful thing to see that cabinet meeting started with prayer, and yes. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Sean Duffy, Chris Wright, Linda McMahon, Doug Collins, Christy Noem, Lee Zeldin, John Ratcliffe, Tulsi Gabbard, Russell Vaught, Kelly Loeffler, Elise Stefanik, Jameson Greer, and Cash Patel. Lord, you know these names. I know a number of them. We think a number of them are yours. And I know that all of them are seeming to be on the same page in a way and to see them really enjoying each other. Most of them are friends, having worked together in the last administration, many of them, or at least some of them. And there's really a oneness there of one accord. And Lord, I just pray that there would be that continuing to do your will. And Lord, we know we need statesmen, not politicians. Can do what's right for the country. The politicians typically want to do what's right for them so they can get reelected. Very reluctant to cut any spending because it might hinder their chances of having support. But Lord, we know we have a real opportunity right now to see some progress made in some of the stewardship things there. So Lord, I just pray that we would not grow weary. And I thank you for this last week, that one vote of 317 and 315, and how you brought that together against all odds, even at the very, very, very end. And Lord, that's the way they all have to be, because man doesn't have the votes to do anything, really. Always is that way, you're in control, but it's even more obvious when you've got such a razor-thin margin, particularly in the House. But Lord, we just thank you, and we praise you. And I pray for the church, Lord, that we here, we are the church, and that each one of us would really have a heart to pray for your will to be done in this nation. And not just in this nation, but even maybe more so in the church. The church is the one who is the spiritual component to life, not the government, not the schools, not the police, and all of those things are important, the judges and so forth, but it's the church. And when we're quiet, when evil occurs, when we're quiet, when terrible things happen, we're only really silently approving it to a degree. And so help us to stand for what is right. So bless our pastors, Lord. I pray that they would be in the center of your will. They would not be compromising. They would not be broadening the way. They would not cheapen the grace. And so, Lord, I just pray for your shepherds, Lord, to be true shepherds. And Lord, pray your will be done. We ask in Jesus' name. Father, I want to lift up those who are suffering from various stages of memory loss and dementia, Lord, and we hear prayer requests from different ones, and pray for me, it's getting worse, and those kinds of things. And Lord, I just pray for preservation of that memory until the last breath, and be fit for the service until that time, with being able to reason without just not being able to remember anything or really think anymore in a way. So we lift that up, and we know you're preparing us for the transformation to our eternal bodies, and wanting us to be in enough discomfort, I guess, in these old bodies to be willing to leave. But by the same token, Lord, I pray for those who are really suffering right now and unable to do what they would like to do, but may they understand that you only expect them to do what you enable them to do. So I pray for peace and comfort in those areas. Also the Parkinson's, and we could go on and on with the pestilences and the various cancers and those kinds of things. You know that all, and so we pray for your healing touch, and we pray for your perfect will to be done in each case, in Jesus' name. Father, as we come almost to a close, I do want to just pray for the young men, Lord. The whole abortion thing is really a result of 9 months earlier. And Lord, the whole press of sex in this culture, and the goal of every young man is to seduce a woman, it seems like, and that is where the problem is, and big time, big time. And men not even having taken responsibility for their actions at all. And so, Lord, it takes two for that, but I do know that rather than protecting the virginity of a woman, most men want to destroy that, and figuring out any way they can to do that. So, Lord, you know all that. It's been there since the very beginning. That the twisting of these gifts you've given us, and particularly the procreation thing, is one of the biggest ones in the Bible. And so, Lord, it's nothing new, but yet we've made very little strides In fact, we're going the wrong way. I think the world's going the wrong way. I think there's more premarital sex and talking about the ancient ways of the hatred and looking down on abortion. There was even also a looking down on breaking of virginity, and now it's thought to be an objective or something, it seems like. So, Lord, we just cry out for your will to be done. We do thank you for the sanctity of life. It's just unbelievable that you have made us, man, the only creature in your image. And it was such a miracle, Lord. Every new life is such a miracle. And it's almost 400,000 a day being born. And so it's never, we're never going to run out of kids. We're for sure of that. It's with the population growing and growing. But Lord, every one of them needs the Lord because they're all born sinners. So Lord, from the very beginning, I just pray for a great move of your Spirit, and I pray for those that you have gifted with salvation, that we would be vocal with prayer and getting the word out to those who do not know you. And you've given us today, the 1st of March, already into March, and whether we will respond today or not, I don't know, but what opportunities you give us today. If we don't do them today, they'll be lost. There'll be more tomorrow, but today's will be gone. The blessing for doing your will today will be gone, and those who would be blessed by doing your will today will be gone. So help us to really redeem the time. That is the one thing that we can't replace. Yesterday's gone, and all of the yesterdays are gone. So now is the time, so help us. So Lord, as we just close, I want to just close in this one song here that kind of we had there talking about the ears. And so Psalm 5 came to mind. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. So let's just quietly close with this psalm, which is a very familiar, beautiful, beautiful song. Give ear to my word.
Give ear to my words, O Lord. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O give ear to my words. unto thee and will abide.
Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the reminder of two-way communication. We've been in Proverbs to listen to you, to listen to you, to hear you, to hear you, to hear you. And now the psalmist comes along and says, we cry out to you, hear us, hear our prayer, O Lord. So we thank you for the two-way aspect of prayer. We just thank you for your grace and your mercy, which endures forever. Bless each one here, and may we stand for you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.